As we come to the Bible study number 3, I'm reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus to Peter, "If I wash thee not, you have no part with me." And that washing is the washing of the Word of God. But secondly, he says to him, "Satan hath desired to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee." Oh, that we might capture that wonderful heart of the Lord Jesus as he prays for each one of us individually. "I have prayed for thee." You read it in the Old King James Version, you get that truth coming out. That Satan have desired to sift you. Now in the Old King James, the you is always plural. It's not just old fashioned English. It is specific English. You in the King James is plural. But then he says to Peter, "I have prayed for thee." No matter how old fashioned it is singular. And the Old King James is a very good Bible study tool if you want to get some insights. Don't just throw it away. If you even use a new version, still keep your Old King James because you can find some wonderful nuggets in it. "I have prayed not for you, I have prayed for thee." He was telling Peter, no matter what Satan wants to do with everybody, I want you to know that individually you are in my prayers and praying for thee. And I want us, as we go through this Bible study today, to capture the heart of the Lord Jesus in prayer. That we, as we study this, it might not be just for the mind, but capture the heart of the Lord Jesus, who was praying, a praying man. I believe Brother Brandon and myself spoke sometime in Romania on the praise of the Lord Jesus in the book of Luke. And there's so many wonderful lessons. But we come to our passages today. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm very happy that on this occasion most of the saints have a copy of this outline before you. And there's some extras up here as well if you don't have. Colossians chapter 1. Now read these passages very quickly. As all of us have the Word of God open, you should be able to follow my slightly rapid reading. From verse 9 to 12, let's go. It says, the Apostle Paul, who loved and had met their Colossians, is for this cause. We also since the day. Now notice as I read this passage, the word we. And if you look at the outline, it's fellowship in prayer. It was Paul and Timotheus, verse 1. So that's the context. We also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, all of you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, that's God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Very relevant to the topic, understanding the times, and that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Beloved, there's no room for idleness. There's no room for laziness. And increasing in the knowledge of God. And there you have wisdom, understanding, and the knowledge of God. But strengthen this power with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There is this perseverance, he says, he ceased not. There was a purpose why he continued. He wanted their spiritual, their knowledge. He wanted them in the wisdom. He wanted them with spiritual understanding of the will of God. Beloved, each one of us need to know what is the will of God for me, what is the will of God for us, that we can go forward together. And if we are in the will of God, we'll accomplish His will. We'll do it with decisiveness and focus. And God grant with faithfulness. I leave this to just introduce chapter 4. Because I'm sure that the dear brethren will pick up many points. The points that the Spirit of God wants us to touch. Same Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you. See, one's from Colossae. A servant of Christ, salute of you. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. What a man. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the what? Will of God. We're coming to this again and again. What is the will of God for me? What is the will of God for you, the saints? What is the will of God for those in St. Vincent, for Barbados? And he's praying that the Colossians might stand complete, perfect and complete in all the will of God. Not part, but every piece of it. For I bear him record that he have a great zeal for you. And them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. But this is an individual praying. And he's praying for those very similar things that that Paul and Timothy, the partnership, the fellowship of the two were praying for. But the energy and the exercise of Epaphras is amazing. And that word laboring fervently, it brings to mind a combat. It comes to mind, and the Greek brings the idea of a struggle, of a real challenge. And he was burdened, and he was in that exercise, fighting for the saints before God for victory in the will of God. What energy we find in this individual who is praying for the saints. The next passage is in Ephesians 6. Where the provision of God is the armor, and with the whole panoramic view of the inheritance of our blessings, there's spiritual warfare because the enemy wants to rob the saints of not just of the blessings, but the enjoyment of the blessings, like those Philistines who were in the land when David went and he fought the giant and so on. We want to recognize like the Joshuas who would go in to possess and to maintain that inheritance. Beloved, we've been given a wonderful piece of armor at the end that we want to highlight. Verse 18. Ephesians 6:18, praying always. Beloved, there is to be no moment without prayer. In all prayer, every avenue of its facet, the intercession, the supplication, and every part of prayer, even the thanksgiving, it said, and supplication in the Spirit of God bringing my heart in line with the heart of divine persons, and filled with that passion, I poured my prayer to God, and watching thereunto. There is this guard against unbelief and doubt and failure to follow through in my expectation. There's this watchfulness that I look forward to a result and a response, and say to God like Jacob, I will not let thee go until thou bless. All perseverance. We cannot give up, beloved, in prayer either. Brother Ashton was saying the message, as he says, the dovetail. Because in Brother Ashton, we got the word of God. And in this, we get prayer. The two things that always go together. The word of God and prayer. Prayer, we must persevere in prayer as we persevere in the word of God. Perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's for everybody. But then in verse 19, we need to pause in our prayers and pick up individuals. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Not just for the individual, but specific. It's have a cause on your heart, a burden on your heart, like Epaphroditus, and persevere before God for the help of the dear brother or sister that he brings to you. And then 1 Thessalonians 5. This is very much tied up with Ephesians, so I trust we see the dovetailing, so we do not have to spend time in each of them the same amount. It says in verse 17, pray without ceasing, beloved. There is no time for pause. There's no pause button allowed in this whole matter of prayer. You know, my wife I appreciate her so much. And these verses remind me of her. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know what she tells me? She says, Sam, you know, whenever I am walking, driving, whatever, and someone comes into my mind, you know, I just remember someone, you know what I do? I pause and I pray for them. And she says she does this consistently. It doesn't matter where or when. Somebody just comes, she just remembers somebody and she pauses and she prays for them. I appreciate that about her. It's for everyone. First Thessalonians 5, verse 6 to 7. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6 and 7, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, we had the other verses we had yesterday are similar. They that be drunken are drunken in the night, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I've read a little more, but in this verse, 6 and 7, there is the thought of being a night watchman. And a night watchman must be on guard. You must be alert. You must be sober. You must be awake. Each one of us. But especially in this, it is for the coming of the Lord Jesus that he looks. But then, in verses 17 and 18, pray without ceasing and in everything give thanks. This is for everything, all events in our lives. We should make a moment of prayer to bring it before the Lord. May God help us to take up this matter of praying and watching. And as I said, the watching has two directions. The watch of the guard and the watching for the good. We cannot just be on the guard. We must be also watching and persevering for the good. What God is going to bring in. Because the guard is what the devil wants to bring in. And the good is what God wants to bring in. And let us be watching and persevering in prayer. Let's not go through this as just a theoretical thing. Beloved, when we finish, we really should go into prayer if there's even 5 minutes left. May God bless his word.
I would like to ask the question in Ephesians 6. We are told here to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And there's another scripture that says that we should pray in the Holy Ghost. What is then meant by praying in the Spirit? How should we understand it?
Very simply, I want to suggest right on the start that prayer has several aspects, but there are two that I want to bring before us. One aspect of prayer is dependence. Yes, we can use the word faith, we can use the word trust, and all of that is what I'm saying is part of that. But there is always the fundamental thought in prayer of dependence. But the second leg of prayer is confidence. Now, dependence and confidence are two different things. I can be dependent on a little boy to go and get something for me. And say this, young fella, I want you to go and get this thing for me. But I know the little boy, and he cannot be trusted. I have nobody else. I say, look, I'm depending on you. Please don't let me down. You're dependent on him, but you don't have any confidence in him. But we are not to be like that with God. We are dependent, but we must also be confident. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, that is in dependence, must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. That's confidence. Sometimes we do not see the distinction in scripture, but we need to bear it in mind as we develop it. So that's where the Spirit of God comes in. We cannot think that we can pray out of ourselves. We must be in dependence on the promptings and the formation of the emotion, the energy, and the exercise in my heart by the Spirit of God. And if the Lord Jesus, by the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, let me realize I need the Spirit's prompting, the Spirit's work in my heart, that I might be in dependence on God, and that Holy Spirit as well, fill my heart with confidence that God will always answer my prayer. Sorry to be so long-winded.
Just like to say that there's another aspect in praying in the Spirit. There's a scripture that says, walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And in that scripture, it means walk according to the Word of God. And the other aspect of praying in the Spirit is to pray according to the Word of God. And remember in the Gospel, the Lord's disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray. So that prayer that our kids, we train our kids to pray, is actually, there's a pattern that we should follow. And that pattern, there are three aspects to it. That whenever we pray, we must address God as Father. And secondly, the second thing we must do is to tell him about himself. Praise him. You know, praise him. Tell him about himself. When you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. Tell him about himself. Praise his name. Tell him what he is, what he is to us. And thirdly, we should then ask our requests. You know, and this is another aspect in praying in the Spirit. We should follow that guideline that the Lord has given. And the last thing about praying in the Spirit is that we should always end with asking it, our requests, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We commencing in the book of Colossians, and in light of prayer, we have to say there are different aspects of prayer. There is supplication. There is prayer. There is intercessory prayer. We are going to look at an intercessory prayer at this moment. Here is the Apostle Paul, one of the five prayers of the Apostle Paul. And he's praying for the Colossian saints. Messages of their condition and their state were brought back by Epaphras to him, this faithful minister. And the apostle says in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now we want to make this distinction very clear. When the apostle Paul is praying here, this is that I may come in to the mind of God for us. It's not my daily living, who I should marry, or which school I should go to, or where I should live. God has purposed some things in Christ. And this is assembly prayer. And he's praying that they may enter into God's purpose for their lives. That's God's will. It's something that is fixed. In the book of Ephesians, he says it's the good pleasure of his will, the mystery of his will, the counsel of his will. These are things that are fixed, and God wants to bring us into it. And the apostle is now praying that the saints may be brought into the good of God's mind for them. I tell you, when you come into the good of God's mind, when you see God's will for his people, even in Ephesians chapter 1, the apostle prayed the same. So he's praying here, and he's saying, listen, that he might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, interceding on behalf of the saints, that we will be brought into God's mind. And I tell you, saints, when you are brought into that, it takes you above the clouds. You know, when you're flying, and you're going through the clouds, I am sure when we are flying in a plane and you're going through the clouds, it's all shaky and, you know, but the moment you get above the clouds, man, that's the place to live. That's the place to fly. And you get up there, man, and you see how blue it is. There's no clouds. This is the place the Apostle Paul is saying, come up hither. And since this is intercessory prayer, this is when we go on behalf of others. We will find as we continue going down, it's a different kind of prayer where we supplicate, we agonize, we go before God in earnest prayer to see some things happen. But here is that we may come into the good of that which He has secured for us in Christ.
Just one little point as well. Notice that it is filled with that knowledge, and yet at the end of verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. Beloved, God expects us at every stage of my life and of my growth, that fullness be there. But He expects progress in the knowledge of Himself. And that is the whole purpose of this prayer, that we might get to know God, His thoughts, His counsels, His purposes, what His heart was full of in eternity past. Can we capture God in contemplation, divine persons in communion, as they desire, as they contemplated us, unworthy as we would have been, and to think of the wonder of their heart, communing, and He wanted us to be filled with that knowledge, and as we grow in spiritual capacity, to be further filled with it, increasing in the knowledge of God. What a life of appreciation of this God and knowing that wonderful will, the wisdom that went into it, and the understanding how God would plan it and how God would bring it to pass. And then when we are finished, what can we do but giving thanks? We will end up a people of praise.
You know, saints, this is really assembly prayer. When we come together, hear this brother praying for the saints.
Two brothers.
Yeah, praying for the saints, Epaphras the Apostle Paul. And he is saying, listen, God has purposed something in eternity past. And he is praying that God will give us appetite to go in and to grasp and to come into the good of what He has secured for us. This is assembly prayer. This is where indeed you are brought from one stage to another, where the apostle says, listen, I want to take you up in God's country in relation to God's mind for you. Indeed, this is what God wants. God wants you to understand. It's not what you think about yourself. It's not what others think about you. It's what I think about you. I want you to know about. And you know, the wisdom of God picking up a sinner and making him a saint, and not only making him a saint, but putting him in Christ and raising him together with His Son, I tell you, is profound. Indeed, man cannot conceive how this God who is holy, how this God who is righteous, indeed could justify a sinner and bring him into a fellowship with Him and open up his heart. Listen, God wants you to know He have done this for the delight of His own heart. It's not because of you and me. It's because He loves us. And because He has put us in His Son, He says, and this knowledge, now that God wants us to come into the good of, is for me to walk worthy. Worthy of the knowledge that I've received now. That's why He says in verse 10, that he may walk worthy of the Lord. Now it's Lordship. It is lordship. It's not now the will of God and the wisdom and the knowledge, as Brother Sam says, is that when I got saved, all I knew, I got saved, my sins were forgiven, and I was on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. What do you mean? I thank God for that. But when I realized, as I was telling you, I go into Bible study, I realized I didn't know nothing. A brother came and he spoke about two men before God. I said, what foolishness is this boy? Two men before God? What is this? He says, it's only two men. Go forget about all the rest. And I tell you, I was puzzled for years. Until I understand, is Adam and Christ. It's either you're in Adam or you're in Christ. It took me years, brethren. But I was helped. I said to the brother after the meeting, what this brother said? There's two men. He says, Brother Brian, listen, it's Adam and Christ. I said, so what about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob and these men? I didn't know. But now I know. Now I know what God thoughts for me are. What they are. And now in light of what God has done for us, He tells us now, walk worthy of that. Walk worthy of sonship. Walk worthy of the of this position into which you have been brought. And He says, walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, being fruitful in every work and increasing in the knowledge of God. As I increase in this knowledge, as I grow, indeed, you find our love appreciation. This is what Paul, this is what they prayed about. The saints may come into the God of this. And He says, if you are in the good of God's will, you are going to walk worthy of the Lord. Lordship comes in my walk. It have nothing to do. The counsels of God have to deal with appreciation in the mind of God. But no, with this knowledge, hey, I gotta walk in the dignity of it. And it brings me under the Lordship of Christ. Because now I realize I am responsible for the knowledge I have. And the Apostle Paul is saying, oh God, give this to them. Open up their heart. Let them understand that they may walk in light of the knowledge they have.
Okay. I am afraid to pray sometimes. Because I'm afraid if I pray for myself, God might think I'm selfish. So strange enough, my prayer would be, Lord, whatever you want for me, do. Should I change that? Is it really selfish to pray for myself? Another thing is, we talk about collective prayer or assembly prayer. If we are going to pray or have prayer meeting, should we go to church and individuals just go down and pray? Or should we decide on what we are going to pray for first? Clearly on the board we have prayer must have a purpose and so on. So help me in those two areas.
It is very good for each one of us as members over the assembly, wherever we are, that when you are praying in the assembly, is not the place for you to be pouring out your complaint or whatever the case might be. You becomes the mouthpiece of the little gathering or the fellowship of which we are a part. And the matter of deciding what we pray for, there are the times in the assembly meeting when it is a good thing to mention or to remind one another of certain aspects of the assembly that we should be praying for. And sometimes in the prayer meeting, you can focus on one particular thing. Example, when the apostles were, well, let's just deal with Peter or Paul and Silas, whatever the case might be. We know of an occasion when they were taken, when there was the intention of putting an end to Peter's ministry, and the assembly met to pray for Peter's deliverance. That was the purpose of that meeting. So we are not able to say with any surety that we should not decide what we should pray for. But it's very good for every brother to be conscious of this fact, that your own burden and exercise, whatever it might be, that you're not talking about me. We are talking about us. We are praying for such and such a person or condition in the fellowship of which we are a part. While I am standing here, I'm thinking now specifically of what is said in chapter 6 over of Ephesians in verse 18, praying always with all prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is deep exercise, dear brethren. The matter of having a heart for the things of God. And it was said of Daniel that even in his busy workaday life, that he found time to pray. And it is said of him, and I'm sure that he wasn't doing anything in robbing his employer, but he found time to pray 3 times a day. Sometimes we could be so busy that we don't have the time to pray. But it's so nice when we could live a controlled and disciplined life. And it is so nice when you can have a time that you meet with God. I remember hearing of a man who used to walk to, well, they call the buildings where people gather to worship, they call it church. He used to walk religiously day by day to go to the place where he meet with God. And the only thing that anybody in that building was able to hear him say is to tell God that he come. That's all. That's all you hear. You're not hearing anything else what he says to God. He meet at that time. And he says, God, I come. Praying always with all prayer and supplication is a deep exercise. And God wants us to be in that frame of mind where we count on him. We know the importance of what it is to unburden our souls and to be able to supplicate on behalf of others as a noble exercise of prayer. Okay.
In Timothy, Paul admonished him that prayer, supplication, intercession with thanksgiving be made for all men. And if I understand that, it's easy to spend an hour in prayer. The question is to praying for myself. Why not? But if that's the scope of my prayer life, I am very shallow and childlike or childish. It's the child who say, mommy or daddy, give me, give me, give me, give me, because the focus is me. When Paul uttered the first prayer in Ephesians, he had just revealed some awesome truth to the saints. You are blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he went on unveiling deep truths of the counsels of God, he turned now in supplication. God grant that they might understand it. Grant that they might lay hold on it. Give them illumination that they might take it in. And so, in the assembly, and that can also be in private life, you're praying not for jobs and health and blessings. So there are different focus of prayer. And even in understanding the various definitions of those words will widen my scope of prayer. We need intelligence between my private prayer life and the assembly prayer. In my private life, my bedroom, I can comfortably pray as long as I want to. But what we have found, there are 6 or 7 brothers in the prayer meeting, and one man gets up and he pray for 25 minutes. That's not wise. I've heard brethren say, brother, pray. Pray short. If you pray for more than 10 minutes, you pray too long. If there is scope, nothing wrong in coming and pray again. Nothing wrong in praying 2 times. But when you get on there and you going on and on and on and praying for everything from Dan to Beersheba, then what's there for somebody else to pray about? You end up being boring. The thought of, should we know, should we announce? Just remember last night. We were told that the cook became sick. He's in the hospital. That prayer need was announced. So when a brother begins to pray for Mr. So-and-so, everyone knew intelligently what he's praying about. The prayer is not being used to communicate that even while you're praying, we're talking about who's that person? So they share. We have had in the missionary bulletin a prayer calendar. It helps us to pray beyond the 4 walls of our meeting room. So often we go to an assembly prayer meeting, and all the prayer repeatedly is in the 4 walls. We're praying about our needs, about us, about the children, about the jobs. There is no vision beyond the walls. There are saints who are dying for the cause of Christ. We need to supplicate on the behalf. Oh, Father, keep them. Grant that they will not buckle. Grant that they will not quit. Lord, sustain them by your grace. And there are brethren who take some ministry to communicate international needs to us through the assembly bulletin. That as I read, I know what's going on with the brethren in Sudan. what's going on to the brethren in Egypt, and I can widen my semi-prayer life. I know in Kitty, going back to 70, 71, a brother would take the assembly bulletin and read different prayer requests before the prayer meeting, that at least the saints are sensitized about other things that we can pray for more than, Lord, bless me, bless the children, keep the children, and all those things. So I can pray as much as I want for myself, but very often as I pray for myself and I grow, I will learn the blessedness in praying for others, praying for the saints, praying for different things than just bless me, bless me, bless me.
If I may. Luke chapter 18, just verse 1, and then we go to the portion. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Quickly like men is the expression in light of that. And this is so important because, again, we are looking at understanding the time. And I would suggest that in understanding, getting that grasp which is necessary, it is critical to pray. When you look at the illustrations of the lives which are placed on the scriptures for us to witness, no revelation that was given did not come without prayer. We see Anna, who ceased not night and day, serving the temple through prayer and fasting. To her it was revealed, that's the Christ, the one who shall bring redemption. Simeon, Daniel, all these men got on their knees and prayed. And at times I wonder if these illustrations just pass right by us, simply because when we look at the prayer meeting, it is the least attended meeting. And yet still, God has given us the most powerful weapon that the enemy cannot stop, and that is prayer. When we get to the book of Colossians, and we have a wonderful outline there, but I will just, Brother Sam, add one more P. And that is the prompting that comes out. And that is in light of even your question as well. Verse 4 says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. 6 says, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Verse 9 says, for this cause also, since the day we heard of it. And that was their prompting. The prompting came as they were given that testimony that Epaphras came and told them of all that God was doing in Colossae. And this is again just tying in with what Brother Ashton says. When it is reported, what do we do? Or even in discussing things and issues that come up amongst ourselves, whether locally, regionally, or internationally, what do? It should lead us to prayer. Another issue that is so important is the element of sharing in prayer. When we notice, it was not just the Apostle Paul with Timothy, with Epaphras, and they saw the exercise and agreed among themselves that it was necessary to pray. And the content of their prayer, which I would like to suggest, is nothing superficial, nothing small. It was that which was aligned with the mind and will of God, that we may increase and be filled. Let me just read that properly. Be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. These are the things that we should be on our knees about. And one last thing before I sit down, because the word cease comes out there. And at times, things are announced, things are prayed for, but they're prayed for just once. And in the military, there's this expression, following through the objective. That is, you continue at it
until the objective is realized. And these are the things that we as an assembly should realize, because we're speaking about fellowshipping in prayer, is to ensure that the prayers continue until the objective is realized. Prayer is that which moves the hand of God, and faith brings deliverance down. And I dare say that we don't realize that power which is given to us and use it enough.
If I turn to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 7, just briefly to point out, there is prayer that is called individual prayer. I, as an individual believer, need to be a praying individual. Now, we remember the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. He said, I became in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I want to suggest to an earlier discussion that to pray in the Spirit means that I am being led by the Spirit of God. It is not just my feelings. It is not just what I want to say. But I bow to the Lord, and I am conscious of the leading of the Spirit of God. Sometimes there are specific things that the Spirit of God would lay upon the heart. And to be led by the Spirit of God is very, very important. John said, I became in the Spirit on the Lord's day, meaning you and I are not always in the Spirit. It is very important for me to grasp that. So I have to humble myself. I have to be dependent upon the Lord. I have to look to Him as to what really I ought to pray for. This is very important. Now in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I notice this in verse 5. When thou pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrite, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and so on, that they may be seen by men. Now when they are seen, that in itself is their reward. They will get no reward from God. I hope we see that that's the point. Matthew 7:6. When thou pray. So we must not pray like the hypocrites. There are some persons who go somewhere and publicly stand up because they want people to think that they are religious. They want people to think, oh, how pious and godly that man is. If that is my object when I pray, I have a wrong object, and God is not going to listen to those prayers. But what I must do is quietly go out of sight. This is private prayer I'm talking about. Out of sight. Into my little workshop, into my little bedroom, and pray privately. Nobody else is there. Shut out the wife, shut out the children, pray to God. This is a private matter. That is what we're being told about private prayer. Go into your closet, pray to your Father in secret. He will give the results in public. But we also recognize that we must not use vain repetitions. Again, I relate this to praying in the Spirit. It's not just talk. It's not just picking up a book that has a prayer written in it and repeat that prayer every day. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name and all of that. That is empty repetition. God has given us that prayer in order to teach us a pattern, how, but not what. So if I just come before God and I read off a prayer, that is not called praying. That is reading. And it is very poor reading if every day I'm going to come before God with the same thing. That is not what is meant. God wants me in private, to have something put on my heart by the Spirit of God. He wants me, therefore, to say that in his presence. It is a request. The Lord Jesus could demand from his Father because they are equal. But I cannot demand. I can only request. And God, in his wisdom, will grant me my petition. I come into chapter 18 of Matthew. Very briefly, I trust. And we come to an assembly prayer meeting. There are some things that are proper to a private prayer meeting. A private prayer. But there are some things that are proper to the prayer meeting where I am in public. Someone has said that the longest prayer in the Bible is Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. And I am joining with Brother Ashton in requesting very sincerely that when we brothers pray publicly, we better be brief. The longest prayer in the Bible, Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple, can be reverently prayed in less than 7 minutes. So why should I, since I am less wise than Solomon, pray for 20 minutes? What is the sense in that? Solomon knew that it was not smart. He made sure that this prayer was less than 7 minutes. Dear brethren, it is best to pray briefly in the public meeting. If I want to pray all night at home by myself, that's okay. That's fine. But in the public, in the meeting, the prayer meeting, it is not smart. Solomon did not do it. The Lord Jesus in John 17 did not do it. His prayer is even shorter than Solomon's prayer. And that is the basis upon which we set this fact before you. Long prayers in a prayer meeting only kill the prayer meeting. Saints fall asleep while we are at it. And perhaps we are back up again and we are still going. It is not smart. If we follow the example of scripture, we will realize. Now coming to the assembly prayer meeting though. Notice in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 18. Verily I say unto you that whatsoever ye shall bind. Ye. The ye, as Brother Sam was pointing out this morning, is always plural. Thou is always singular. So here it has to be a number of people praying together. Note that. Verily I say to you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. More particularly now, I want to come to verse 19. Again I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. And he goes very quickly into verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together unto my name. So the discussion is an assembly prayer meeting. Why does it have two? If an assembly comes down to only two people, it is still an assembly. And it is assembly prayer that is being discussed in Matthew 18 and verse 19 especially. Two of you agree. So there can be an understanding as to what we are going to pray about. And as we understand the object, and we pray about that thing together, God is going to hear and answer those prayers. So it's important to differentiate between private prayer and then assembly prayer. But the fact of the matter is, praying in the Spirit means I am praying as led by the Spirit of God. Peter said to Jesus certain things. He was being led by the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus commanded him. A few words down, Peter began to say to Jesus, Lord, you are not going to go into prison nor into death. And the Lord Jesus turned to him and said, get behind me, Satan. Peter was not in the Spirit at that time. You and I are not always in the Spirit. That is my point. But we have to strive that when we pray, we have the mind of the Spirit of God. So how careful then I have to be with what I tell God. I have to ensure that I am being led by the Spirit of God.
Since we want to move on to chapter 4 and just bridge what we have been saying. You know, when we have in New York City brothers meeting and were conducted by stalwarts of the faith. And I could never forget, a brother said, at the prayer meeting, when a brother is praying, after he crossed 3 minutes, he started praying for him. After he crossed 6, he started praying against him, asking the Lord to stop him. Another brother said, while a brother is praying, I say, amen. Yes. Because sometimes at the end, I cannot say amen. No, all of these analogies is wonderful. It helps us. But as Dave is saying, if I'm praying in the Spirit, I do have to worry about these things. Because the Spirit is going to tell me when to start and when to stop. Okay? It is conditional. The leading of the Spirit is conditional, brethren. There are some things that is true of every Christian. But the leading of the Spirit is based upon my moral life. How he is able to lead. How he is able to conduct. In light of what we are taking up, we see in the book of Colossians chapter 1, the apostle is, and they are praying that the saints may rise up, indeed to grasp God's thoughts about them, that they may walk worthy of the Lord here, that you may be fruitful, that you may demonstrate the characteristics of Christ. This is what it means to be fruitful. As we know, it's not mango and breadfruit and banana. It is a practical outliving of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may increase. As you increase in the knowledge of God, you will be strengthened. But we turn to a man who livingly set forth this. An individual, Epaphras in chapter 4 and verse 12. Who is one of you? He come from your company. And his name means contraction of following. This brother, he says, who is one of you? A servant of Christ, a bondslave of Christ. Salute you, greet you, always laboring for you in prayer. Where? In the assembly? No. This is his personal exercise. The first one is assembly, we. But here it is, he's speaking specifically of this man. He says, for praying, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect, complete in all the will of God. He is on the grounds of chapter 1. This is what he wants for you. He wants you to come into the good of God things. Brethren, I was brought up by a brother of prayer. I tell you, he prayed about everything. One day we were praying for money. He said, Brother Brian, I need some money. And we got down in prayer. I'll never forget this in my life. We were coming down on Sterling Street near Ronnie Anderson House. It was the fall. Leaves all over the ground. All over the ground. The brother said, I saw some money in the street. I said, brother, come on. How are you going to see money in the street with all these leaves? Well, I tell you this. The brother got up and he picked up some money out of the street. I couldn't believe it. He says, this is what prayer can do. He wanted some tires for his car. But he had a Volkswagen bus. And he says, Brian, I need We need 3 tires. I ain't got no money. You know, I thought he set me up. Because 2 days after, his neighbor said to him, "Hey, Shay, you know, they had a sale over at some place on Linden Boulevard. But I get all these tires from..." He says, "Do you want 4 of them?" Say, "Shay, but I prayed about this. I asked for 3. And God gave me a spear." Listen, brethren. We are talking about men of prayer. And one of the things he said, he says, "Brian, brethren are not people of prayer. They don't pray. They say prayers." So brother, here is a man in the scriptures who labored for the saints on his knees privately, the same way indeed he prayed in chapter 1. This is what we need. We need men like Epaphras, who labors, who sought to see the need. These are not men who hit in the stand. These are men who get aside and cry unto the Lord for the saints, that they may come into the good of the will of God. I tell you, saints, imagine I come into the good of that, and living in the counsels of God, I will be here a blessing to heaven. Oh, may God help us. Because brethren, yes, we can talk about long prayers. We can talk about what to say and all these things, but the Bible has given us wonderful examples of what to say in prayer, when to say it. Brother Max said clearly, they came specifically to pray for Peter, and results were there. They asked the Lord to give them boldness. He gave them boldness. In an assembly prayer, brethren, leave it to the Spirit of God. Don't legislate. Don't come in there and says, "We should do this." When we come together, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. And that's what we want to maintain. Assembly prayer. It is assembly prayer. Not my prayer meeting. It's the assembly prayer meeting.
Just want to add. Just want to add, with the passage in Colossians 4, there's one, a sister passage in Romans 15, that seems to join the exercise of Colossians 4, which was individual, to appeal to the assembly to be in the same spirit of striving, of combating, of fighting. Romans 15:13, it says, "Now I beseech you." Now he's really asking them from the depths of his heart, brethren. So he's embracing the whole assembly here, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And he always has divine persons, the honor of divine persons in view. Nothing I should be doing in prayer, whether individually or collectively, should be selfish. Christ's glory and his sake, it should be paramount. And for the love of the Spirit's energy and energizing amongst the saints in that atmosphere of love, and also towards God above all. And this is the expression, that you strive together with me. The apostle as an individual would be also striving as an individual. But he's begging the assembly to strive as an expression, an assembly, strive together. Now my burden is, beloved, that we need to see this matter of prayer as a tremendous challenge, as to recognize it is, there's warfare. This is serious business. Prayer is not flippant and light. We are engaged with principalities and powers in the heavenlies. We need to recognize the enemy is against us, and he wants to destroy the assembly. But we have the promise, the recognition that the gates of hell will not prevail. But we are to persevere. We are to combat. We are to strive. We are to labor in prayer. Beloved, are we doing this as individuals? And are we as an assembly, as assemblies doing it? And the other thing we need to notice about the Colossians text is that Epaphras was embracing an assembly and other assemblies. It says in verse 13, I bear him record, this is back at Colossians 4, that he have great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. You know, these conferences that we have had had a great effect on my life. Having traveled to the conferences in Jamaica, St. Kitts, Guyana, Trinidad, and so on, in St. Vincent. You know what it has done to my prayer life? That day by day, I remember the saints in St. Vincent. As many of them by name I could remember. It has led me to pray for those in Puerto Rico, those in St. Kitts and Nevis, those in Trinidad. And as I come to these conferences, you ponder, you meet the dear brethren again, and you embrace them more in your heart, and you think of them. Beloved, we need to strive for one another. And I want to lay a special exercise, because as Paul made it very personal, I want you to remember the brother Bryans, the brother Ashton, especially in your prayers. Those who are laboring, the enemy. If he destroys a leader, he is more triumphant sometimes than when he destroys those that are not in leadership. Beloved, strive for these, dear brethren. Persevere before God that they might be kept. Beloved, the downfall of a leader is a great fall. Please, beloved, strive for the dear leaders in the Caribbean, those in the fellowship. That God may hold them and keep them and use them and fill them, that the work might go on. And we have a big part to play. Come back, strive, labor for God's sake.
If you would read me, something that I notice is not emphasized is the condition of the individual who is praying. In John chapter 15, I like the way this Bible puts it, so I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much or abundant fruit. However, apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burnt. Verse 7, if you live in me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in you, in your hearts, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. We will recall back in the Old Testament day when a priest would have gone in to offer sacrifice, he first would have had to offer a sacrifice for himself. If we are cut off from the vine, the true vine, our prayers would be useless. We must ensure that we abide in the branch, that our life is totally, truly right. Or I will advise that the first prayer should be made for myself, that God would cleanse me before I start praying for anything else or anyone else. And with that, I would like a little bit more light. I know the brother mentioned it passively on prayer calendar. I would like a little bit more light to shed on, if not now, maybe later on. But then, my next question is, when should prayer be turned into fasting? When should prayer be turned into fasting?
I did not understand your previous statement about the prayer calendar.
Yes, the brother made mention of it passively, but it could be after. You made mention of it, so we could deal with that later. So to understand what how he gets his information, what so on and so on. The main question is, when should prayer be turned into fasting?
No, Paul, no, I'll wait for them to answer your question, okay? I'll wait for them to answer your question. All right. The thing is this, is that I am a firm believer in the leading of the Spirit. Okay? The Spirit answers questions as we go along. And you find that, brother, I just going back to the Colossians chapter 4. You know, the hardest work on any job is the laborer job. And you get paid the least. And this is a reality that all of us have to face. In praying is hard work. Don't expect big pay on this planet. But the results are great. You know, this brother had loved the saints so much that his heart was, what I want for you. And I think that's a wonderful answer to prayer. What God has brought me into the good of, I want you to be in the good of too. And this was the prayer of Epaphras. He says, man, why should I enjoy God so much? Why should I be brought into the counsels of God? A wonderful companion with the Apostle Paul. I tell you, I was privileged. You know, when I came to New York, Ashton was in New York. And Ashton used to come down to Brooklyn and speak. And I used to go, I want to Ashton, Larry and Dot. The first camp I went to was Larry and Dot. And the little children was there. Now, here they are. Look, Brother Ashton. He says you have to walk with a cane. Those days, Ashton could have run you down the street. The thing is this, brethren, we are moving on. But the thing is, I believe as we grow physically and get older, we should be more wiser. More wiser in the sense that it's not so much how much energy I have physically, but it's spiritual energy we need. And I believe you get that in the presence of God. You get that in the presence of God. Brother Sam, say pray for Brother Ashton and pray for me. Listen, brethren, I pray for the children of the saints. Because the moment you in the front lines, the devil is coming after your children. That man, he wants to discredit your children. He wants to say, hey, yeah, look, you're going out preaching and look at your children. Indeed, there's a special attack against the children of the saints. And I tell you, sometimes they want to blame the parents and say, hey, parents, what parents? One brother said to me, Brother Brian, I had devotions every morning. Every morning. We had prayer time. We had Bible reading. And I tell you, I don't know what I could have done. Do what I've done. What they done? Boy, the devil. The devil decide he's scared to death when he see a parents on the... Listen, I confess, Padmore, I fast and pray. I fast and pray. It's a voluntary thing. It's not mandatory. You cannot legislate that. But I turn down my plate. And I say, oh God, indeed, I want you to keep my children, keep my grandchildren, keep the saints. I tell you, I cry before the Lord. And when some of my friends, even children, I cry, I'm still like asking God to bring them back. Why? It's because of the fact we have to realize that prayer is the only weapon we have that could reach these people. Secondly, you turn to, I got David moment. You turn to John 15. No, this is the secret of answered prayer. The secret for answered prayer, Palmore, when you want it for the glory of God. Once you want something for the glory of God, God give it to you. But the moment for me is trouble. But the moment you come, the Lord Jesus says, Father, you have heard me always. I said this, that you may be glorified. So in prayer, always keep this in mind. Lord, I want this for your glory. So I don't get into people's life. I go in and make an open confession now. Open confession. When Brother King came to St. Kitts, Brother King told me he go in and married Delcia. But I was upset. Real upset. I said, man alive, boy, man, leave all these girls all over the place. And, you know, I told Brother King after years, I said, brother, I give the right hand of fellowship. She's more faithful than Brother King. Yeah. This is the thing. We cannot see round the corner. We cannot see round the corner. So don't judge something before it's time. But what we can do, Lord, we want this for your glory. For your glory. And when you want it for God's glory, I guarantee you, you're going to get it 100 times. Now, we discussed something earlier on. I'm just throwing this out and sitting down. Brethren, Sam said, Brother Ashton brought before us the aspect on the word of God. And now Sam is bringing prayer. This is my findings. This is not Yale University or Harvard or these big schools of learning. When you don't have a quiet time and a prayer time with the Lord, you are in trouble. You are in serious trouble. You know why we have so much marital problems? You just listen to them. Let them blow off the steam and ask the question after. You and your wife pray and read. And the moment they pause, bam, you know they have no prayer time together. Brethren, we need to have our young people, our fellowship, our husbands and wives having a prayer time and a quiet time together. Reading the scriptures together. It's a must. It's mandatory. Mandatory. Indeed, we're so busy that we don't pause. You know, I learned my wife is on my knees. Yeah, my wife telling God about me. And I telling my wife about God, telling God about my wife. I tell it have a sobering effect. Indeed, he don't want to listen, Lord. You know, he don't want to listen. But I tell you, telling God. And sisters, I tell you it's golden because they can't talk back. Because you says, I wasn't telling you. I telling God. It's God I telling about. It's God I telling you. So what are you getting upset about? There was a brother. Ashton know him very well. His wife and him was having a prayer meeting. And she was telling God about him. He knocked her out. Bam! Knockout call! Knockout call! Why? He couldn't take the constructive criticism which he was telling God about. Saints, I tell you, you learn a lot. In your quiet time, the scriptures answers questions and let the Lord, boy, I tell you, you hear God telling, your wife telling God about you, you know, I thank you for giving him to me and I ask help us to live together. I tell you, it's sobering. And this is the kind of prayer we need. So when we get on, Sam, I will love us to move on, please, and get to chapter six, if there are no more comments.
Epaphras, I am interested in his name. Yes. I can link it with that next step that you're coming to know. Huh? He's slightly. Epaphras, very short. Epaphras means really devoted, right? That part of his, the meaning of his name. Epaphroditus is really the long form of his name. So the two of these are one and the same person. Epaphras is the short form of his name. I said all of that to say this. If you and I were devoted to the Lord, our prayers would be right. Now, praying and watching On there I see everyone. This is the entire company. And then I notice for each one, I just want to make this differentiation. That's for me personally. Paul said, pray for me. So both things are needed. The entire company and the individual believers.
That brings us to Ephesians 6. And what Paul says in Colossians, he says he ceases not. But here in Ephesians 6, he says he's praying, verse 18, praying always with all prayer. It is as though he's running out of expressions to describe the perseverance, the consistency, the insistence. You know, I come back to the scripture that Brother Watkins brought before us in Luke 18. When the parable, the Lord Jesus followed up with the parable because he says, men ought always to pray not to faint. He brought the widow going to the judge, the unjust judge. And that judge saw this woman coming again and again. And he says, lest you weary me. He really got tired of seeing her. And he says, I'm going to answer her prayer. And the Spirit of God says, concerning God, that he will answer our prayer. And I like how my brother usually puts it. Let us be clear that he is not saying that God is like this. He's saying prayer is like this. Because God is not an unjust judge. And we need to understand his heart is for us. And if God, according to Romans 8, is for us, who can be against us? But he wants us to cultivate that desire to come again and again and not to give up. Praying always, beloved. Every moment should be a moment of prayer, a moment of communion with God. This means we need to be in touch. I tell you, beloved, you watch the cell phones, and I want to be very, very specific. You watch the gadgets of this day, and every, almost even the older saints, they have them. And every 5 minutes, beloved, especially the young people, they're on it. They're texting, they're receiving texts, they're getting email, they're always in touch. Beloved, that is how it should be with us in prayer and God. Are we in touch? Are we as enthusiastic to be in touch with God as we are to grab up the cell phone and to see what's the latest text message coming, ping, ping, and we send it back, and we ping, ping, and we on it. We can spend the whole day on the cell phone, but do we spend the whole day in prayer? That is what the Apostle Paul is saying. As we see the technology, it is to remind us prayer should be like that. Prayer should be like that. Beloved, the next time you grab the cell phone, the next time you grab the tablet, remember prayer. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. This is begging God. This is pleading with God. This is beseeching God to help. In the spirit, as Brother Earl was emphasizing, this dependence on him, this being led by him, and it says watching thereunto. I must focus on that watching. It is to be on guard that my faith does not wane, that I do not give up. But it is also a watching for the good. A watching to be on guard, a watching for the good. But it's a watching on God, and a waiting on God. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. Beloved, let's not give up.
About in Romans, striving with me in prayer. In Timothy, the Apostle Paul say, I would that men all, everywhere, lift up holy hands to pray. And we have a nice example in the case of Moses and Joshua. Moses sent Joshua out to fight a battle. And what Moses did? Moses went to the top of the hill to observe the battle. He was watching it. But as he watched it, the word of God says, he noticed that there are times when the battle was going against Joshua, and there are times when the battle was going for him. But what was the indicator that the battle is going for Joshua is when Moses lifted up his hands. But we are told that after a while, Moses' hands became weary, and it came down. And that's when the battle went against Joshua. And we are told that there were two with Moses. Her, and who was the other person? Aaron. Yeah, on each side of Joshua, each side of Moses, and they held up Moses' hands, and the battle went for Joshua. Joshua. So that is what it means. Striving. Striving with me in prayer. We know there is need to pray for a certain brother, a certain sister. How is it important for us to strive. Strive in prayer. Strive in prayer. And I want to say, when we read Daniel, when we read the book of Daniel, we see another striving in prayer. Daniel wanted to know what will become of the Lord's people in Babylon. And Daniel went down, not only in prayer, but in fasting. And it's good to understand that the same day Daniel went to pray and fasting, the Lord sent his angel out to answer to Daniel. But it took 21 days for the angel to get to Daniel. Why? Daniel, the angel had to fight a battle with the prince of Persia. That is a spiritual battle out there. And when the angel finally came to Daniel, he let Daniel know from the very first time he set your face towards the Lord dispatched me out to let you know about your brethren here in Babylon. So when we pray, the battle is also in the heavenly sphere against the evil ones, against principalities, the dark powers of this world. And that is why we need to understand these things. When we kneel down and pray, we are striving.
Spiritual warfare.
When we kneel down and pray, there's a battle out there, in the leaders of this dark world, principalities. Yeah, there's a battle going out. There's a battle taking place there.
I made a follow up with just that portion that Brother Sam read, and just give the practical example, so that we could see the supplicating and also the watching coming out in the book of Acts chapter 12, I believe gives us a very wonderful example or illustration of this. And verse 1 says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Notice, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. But this is the supplicating aspect. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, that begging aliment without stopping." And notice verse 11. "Well, from 6 to 11, the Lord immediately dispatches his angels in answer to that. And how precious it is that even Isaiah tells us that while they yet speak, and I've heard, and before they finish speaking, I've answered. That is the God that we serve. And verse 11 says, when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know for surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and has delivered me out of the hands of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." So they were still on their knees. "And Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." This is precious. Not only the supplication aspect, but even to watching. And in watching, we are looking also for the answers. And seeing how God is moving amongst his people. It is so precious. And I would just join here in an practical element to assist us with this, is for us to develop a prayer list. To us to literally have a chronicle of the things that we are crying to God about. It guides our prayers. It helps us, but it helps us with the watching thereunto aspect. Because we can see God delivering, God answering all that we ask him. This is the faithfulness that we have in our God.
You know, brethren, we come to a point, we came to chapter 16, chapter 6. Now in chapter 6, bring before us the armor of God. Prayer is also part of the armor. Okay? We stop at the sword of the Spirit. But praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now keep this in mind. In light of the teachings or the revelation that God has given to us in the book of Ephesians, we have gained ground. We have taken, at this point, we have taken possession of our possession. The Apostle Paul prayed in the book in chapter 1 that we will know the hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and the power towards us, even the power that raised up Jesus from the dead. In chapter 3, in chapter 1 is for knowledge, in chapter 3 is for enjoyment. Indeed, that he may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that may be able to comprehend or apprehend with all saints the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and the knowledge of God, and the love of Christ which passes all understanding. Then he comes into the livingly setting forth what we had in chapter 1, 2, and 3. We now come into chapter 6 at this point. And you know, we have to defend what we have gathered. We have to defend what we now possess. And I tell you, brethren, one of the hardest type of warfare. You see, Brother Terry back there? I know you don't want me to say it. And he's shaking his head, don't say it. But I'll tell you anyhow. Ask him. He's a big soldier. He looks simple. One of the highest non-ranking officers in America. Okay? But I said that to say this. He's going to agree with me. To take ground is easy. But to defend it? Because the enemy knows your position. He knows where you are. Guerrilla warfare, don't know where I'm coming from. But the moment you have taken a ground in battle, you are in serious trouble. The enemy says, hey, I know where you are, I'm coming for you. Well, this is what prayer. Prayer help us to maintain the position. Because the devil's job is to steal your joy. The devil's job is to rob you of your possession. Well, I tell you, indeed, you be a real prayer warrior. You see what happened. Boy, the devil don't want you to pray. If he could keep you up on your, or stand on your feet all the time. But the moment you hit down, I tell you, you'll amaze, the phone is going to ring. Somebody's going to call. That's why some men says, the Lord says, get into your closet. Forget about outside. And just seek the Lord. No, brethren. There's general prayers. That's what he says. Pray. I could pray to go down to Kingston. I could pray to go up, go down to Bali and Chateau Belair. But there come a time, brethren. What do you want the Lord to do for you? We pray vague prayers. Is anything specifically do we want the Lord to do for the assembly? This is what we want. This is where we come together. They came together. Peter is in prison. James was killed. And they go in and kill Peter. Lord, we want Peter alive. They get specific. It make no sense praying and, Lord, should we do this? And you think this is your mind, Lord? You think you want to raise him up? All this kind of prayer. I don't pray with people like that. The moment you start, I says first to begin, I have a prayer partner. His brother is here, so I'll choose my words very carefully. I want him to go back and tell his brother. But what happened? We come together and we agree on certain things. And I says, hey, we're going and pray on this. And let's continue praying. His brother is here. You know, for 22 years we pray for him. 22 years. Here he is today. Yeah? It's a miracle. Miracle. He come and he says, he start coming to the meeting. You know, he believed he just come. It's prayer that brought him there. Prayer that brought him there. Brethren, some kind goeth not out but by fasting and prayer. And this is what it is, agonizing. We got to get specific. And you know, I'll tell you this. We have a prayer list in our little prayer group. Guys who want to get married. Fellas, if you want to get married, send your name up. Hey, I tell you this. We have 100% success rate. 100%. We tell the Lord. And we agonize. Brethren, what do you want God to do for St. Vincent? Yeah, what do you want him to do? Don't go through the motions. Tell him. Tell him if the young people, Brother Palmore, get up and say the young people leaving. Tell God you want to bring them back. Tell God you want to see the saints revived and move on. Get specific with the Lord. And stop these vague prayers. And just come in to hold on for a little while. And oh, we holding on. One guy says, we just holding on till the rapture. Not me, you know. I am going to invest. I'm going to invest in young people. I'm going to forge ahead. And listen, everybody won't come with us. But I tell you, I ask the Lord, give us some. Give us some, please. And the Lord is raising up nice young people. Brethren, let this supplication means get specific and it's hard work. Agonize. It may not come tomorrow. It may not come the next day. And I'll say this and sit down. Brethren, we needed $50,000. 50,000. And we told the saints, we need 50,000 by next Lord's Day morning. We says we need 50,000 US. We don't know where it's coming from. But we need it by next Saturday. We had two brothers fasted on Monday, two on Tuesday, two on Wednesday, two on Thursday, two on Friday. I got a call from a brother. And he says, brother, you won't believe what has happened. I said, what? $50,000 was sent for you. Not for me, for the assembly. I tell you, saints, you get specific and you see what God will do. But I am not going to kneel down with people who don't believe in God. Who don't believe God can answer prayer. The moment I said, and I just call my prayer partners, and we have it privately. The Lord couldn't do certain things in certain place because of unbelief. Oh, if we have faith in a grain of mustard seed, brethren. Grain of mustard seed. I tell you, we can do exploits. There's no retreat in this prayer. Prayer, let's pray, brethren. Let's ask God for change. But from God's point of view. Not what I want. Some change we want is what I want. I want what God wants. And if we want it for God, God is going to show it to us.
Brethren, we have to conclude. And we have had a very profitable session of belief before the Lord. We began with the thought that we are really special. If we consider that God's thoughts, His counsels, His will, His wisdom, His understanding was used to embrace us. We are special to God. And Paul and Timothy were praying that the Colossian saints would appreciate how special they were. And that in the knowledge of that unique position they held in the heart and the counsels of God, that they would walk worthy and that they would pray he prayed that they would be increasing in the knowledge of God, God's thoughts, God's mind, God's appreciation for them. Beloved, we are special. And we need to pray for one another
that we recognize that we're special to God and that we fulfill His mind. And that sovereignty, which leads to responsibility, we would answer to the heart of God. Let's pray for each other. Seriously, fervently. Let's combat. Let's strive. Let's be really in earnest for each other, for the assemblies. Let's really make the Caribbean a place where we pray for day by day. Don't forget any of the islands. Remember the dear brothers and sisters, the families, the exercises. Pray specifically that God would come in for us. And the next time, if the Lord Jesus await and pray, so we have another conference, we see answers to those prayers. Let's persevere. Let's be like those in Acts, praying specifically. But let us also watch for the answers to those prayers. Let us, like Hebrews 11, he that cometh to God must, let's not leave out that must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. Let's believe in a good God. Let's believe he wants to answer prayer. I believe, beloved, that we can meditate on Thessalonians at our convenience. We must bring this to a pause. May God add a blessing to the meditation, and may he above all help us to be prayer warriors. It's a wonderful name. For his name's sake.
Let us sing 282, number 282.